95. Brandon and John. What's up, buddy?
95.
95.
I was not quite aware that we had gotten to that point.
Yep. We're getting the good music years.
Ooh.
Yep.
I mean, I guess that's all a little subjective. The good music years.
It's not, but, you know, say what you got to say.
It's official.
It's official. It's written down. It's on the internet. The internet said so.
Yeah.
That's official. It's official.
That's true. In fairness, whatever the internet says goes. That's really kind of our go-to
that's
poll
right.
here.
That's right. So we went and did a thing.
Oh, for the first time in an age.
Went to the movie theater.
Oh.
Saw a flick. Saw a little flick.
Saw a flick. I enjoyed some popcorn. Oh. Enjoyed some cherry cola. That's really... So, like, going into this, to kind of...
John fixing his home. There we go.
Going into this, we went and saw Black Widow. Even though we could have done it from the comfort of this couch.
Yep.
It still seemed... It seemed like just getting back to the theater was a worthwhile endeavor. And I kind of had that thought going into this, whereas I'm not going to say I wasn't excited for the movie, because I was.
Sure.
But I wasn't, like, I'm not Ghostbusters excited.
Right.
I wasn't Avengers excited.
Right. I'm a solid six.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I definitely want to see this.
Right.
But it was also just, like, knowing that I was going to get the theater experience made me so excited.
Absolutely.
Like, the idea of, like, yeah, I'm going to get a fucking whole mess of popcorn.
It's gonna smell like popcorn when I walk in. Right.
Gonna get a cherry cola.
Yeah. You want butter on that? Yeah, I want butter on that.
Extra fucking butter, kid.
Jeez, what am I, a communist?
Who are you talking to? Ugh. It's also funny that, like, the kids behind the counter looked like the last time I went to a movie theater were probably 10.
Right, yeah.
Yep. Which felt, it was like, the whole industry's turned over.
They're the only ones left to work.
The children.
The children.
Put them to work.
They're dictating what we're watching. They are controlling our futures.
Oh,
it's already happening.
Man. And also, I'm a little salty with DePere Movie Theater.
Yes.
How are you going to cut the lights on before the post-credits scene?
That was...
Like, this is a Marvel movie. We all know what's going on.
You going to tell me children aren't running that shit too?
Right.
They're trying to get in there and clean it out real quick.
These kids.
I'm with you.
But so also, before we go any further, if you haven't seen Black Widow and you're not... If you're going to see Black Widow soon,
right,
then maybe you don't want to stick around for a few minutes.
Right.
But also...
I don't plan on outright spoiling it, but I'm just going to talk about it.
Right. Yeah. But also, like, it's kind of like the Titanic in that, like, we know that she dies.
Sure.
So, like, the implications for the future of the MCU are minimal-ish. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think you could... I don't think anything we're going to say is going to be actual spoilery for the long term.
No. Yeah. No.
Just kind of maybe if you want to feel everything about this movie, you may want to come back and join us after you watch it.
That's right.
After you fork over your $30 to Disney Plus.
That's right. Where would you like to start?
First, there's general opinion. Would you say this movie met your expectations? Was below your expectations or exceeded your expectations?
I'd say it met them.
Okay.
You know, did I have super high expectations for it? I did not. Because I kind of figured it's going to be a little standalone.
Uh-huh.
Like we said, can't have much of an outside effect or an effect on the outside rest of the Marvel Universe. Excuse me. I thought it dragged in a lot of spots. It was kind of...
Really?
Yeah. I mean, maybe drag's the wrong term. When I take a step back and I look at it, it doesn't look like or feel like a classic Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no superheroes. You know what I mean? There's nothing... There's no one magical like we've been used to the last four or five type things. There's no guy in a suit... You got, I guess, a super soldier, but he's minimally in the movie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I had fun with it. I didn't love it.
Interesting.
I didn't love it.
I would say it wildly exceeded my expectations.
Is that because they were too low?
Probably.
Okay.
Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, holy shit, that's now my favorite.
I mean, when
Marvel
I was
movie.
Going into it, I'm like, this is going to be pretty good. I'm going to sit down. This is going to be, and I hate, this is where I always judge things for the last little while. It's going to be better than Wonder Woman 84. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was definitely that.
It was definitely that. It was better than, and maybe that's just because of the movie experience, too. I'm glad I saw it in that environment.
For sure.
I don't think it would have decreased my opinion of it if I had seen it at home as far as an overall movie.
Mm-hmm. I think it would have hurt me had I seen it at home.
You think?
I think it would have hurt my experience.
I found some of the action not necessary. Like a lot of the like, you know, of course we just saw it recently, so it pops in my head towards the end. The falling scene.
Yeah.
You know, took way too long. And it was just over the top.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're supposed to believe these are real people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little bit extra.
I would 100% say my biggest critique is that the action was too much.
Okay. Good. I would agree.
Because I think this was, at its core, a really human story. And it was a much more human story than I expected it to
be. That's a better...
Which is why I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a better explanation than what I was saying, not a typical Marvel...
Yeah. Like, I went into it expecting Jason Bourne.
Sure. Yes. And it was kind of Jason Bourne-y. Yes.
But I think it delivered in a much more emotional way and in a much more nuanced way than I expected it to. Yeah. And I liked that.
It was much deeper than I thought it was going to be. Yeah.
And I also think if I would have watched it at home, I would have allowed myself to get too distracted that I don't think I would have enjoyed that subtlety as much.
I can see that.
You know, like, I think being in the theater allowed me to get lost in it.
Yeah.
And that made it really wonderful. Like, I'm not going to lie. I got a little misty-eyed when Detective Hopper was singing American Pie.
Yeah. David Harbour was probably, like, one of my favorite things about this movie.
I got a little misty in it.
Yep.
That was a really...
It's a great callback.
A really wonderful moment. Like, really well-crafted from beginning to there that felt right. Like, at no point did it feel forced, but it, like, that moment was the emotional core to that movie to me. And that alone makes it worth it to me.
Totally, totally. And I think, you know, like I said, why it feels a little different is, other than Natasha's part, the other three in her family, you know, up until, like, the last 20 minutes are still, like... Yay, communism, fuck you, America. You know, it's still like it's a weird bunch to cheer for. So you're like, wait, are they going to be cool at the end of this? Like, what's going on?
Because,
you know, you never hear from them again. So.
But you will.
I'm sure you will now.
Well, that was I think the real purpose of this movie was to introduce Florence Pugh as the new Black Widow.
Sure.
Because,
I can see that
100%. Because as you know, Marvel has proven. So Marvel wants their characters to continue. So for the third time, they want their characters to continue. But obviously actors want to move on to do more things.
Sure.
And I think if you're trying to tell real stories, you need there to be stakes and you need people to die.
Sure. And if they're good enough at what they do, they eventually price themselves out because you can't afford Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans for every fucking movie you make. Because they command X amount because they're making these huge movies.
Right.
Which is totally fair. I get it. But you're right. You need to keep that.
You need to keep the
character alive. Right.
So, you know, just like, you know, I would say half of the purpose of Falcon and Winter Soldier was to give us Sam as Captain America so they can continue to use Captain America.
Right.
And I think with this, half of the reason they did this entire movie was to give us a believable Florence Pugh as the new Black Widow.
Yep. Yep.
As fully evidenced by which was really weird in the post-credit scene, seeing Madame Hydra.
Yes.
And you can, like, we are now directly handing off to Disney Plus projects.
Right, right.
Which is kind of cool.
Kind of cool, yeah.
Like, this clearly...
We knew they were going to weave together, but...
Right.
Obviously,
but, like,
you know.
I think this 100% is setting up the Hawkeye series that we're going to get.
Totally.
Like, now I know that's what Hawkeye is about.
Right.
It is about Florence Pugh going after him. You know, just like we saw Valentina give us U.S. Agent, she's clearly building Dark Avengers.
Right. But then, you know, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's just me jumping to conclusions.
Or Thunderbirds.
But it also clearly sets up new Avengers as far as now you're having a new Black Widow. Now you're going to have a new Green Arrow.
Hawkeye.
I'm sorry, Green Arrow. Because obviously that's what Hawkeye is also setting up, is him handing off that torch. Just going to continue like yeah, it's going to be great.
Well, that's why. But, you know, you can also, like, she is working with Madam Hydra right now. So, like, at the moment, she's not, like, there's going to have to be either a redemption for her to become an Avenger, or she's going to continue in this anti-hero role, which I think is what they are building up for the next phase, just like we're getting U.S. Agent.
Right,
like,
right.
I don't think they necessarily want her as an Avenger. I think they just want that character alive to continue. I feel like a lot of what they are doing in the future phases is this really blurry line between what is good and what is not.
Yeah.
You know, because we're going to have Scarlet Witch as another villainous character to some degree. We're going to have U.S. Agent as a villainous character to some degree. A sympathetic one.
Right.
We have Florence Pugh again as this, like, it's not black and white. These are bad guys.
Right.
But they are also very much not the fucking Avengers.
Right. Right.
And I think that's a positive, like, that's...
Well, it allows you to tell much different stories now.
Right. So. Well, and clearly what we're getting with Disney Plus is they're bringing Loki back into the universe, another kind of anti-hero character.
Yep.
That I just think, and I think it's super smart, because, like, after Endgame, couldn't really see where they were going to go, you know? Like, they spent 10 fucking years building that, and they landed the plane.
Sure.
So there's a big part of you that's like, cool, man, you did it. You can ride off into the sunset. But then there's the other part of like, no, this is a $1 billion machine. Now you've got to do the next thing.
Right.
And I don't think you can outdo Endgame. You just have to do something different.
Totally. Which you're not forced to do, but you have the option to do now because you have so many more outlets to do it through.
Mm-hmm.
With TV, you can do, you know, episodic stuff. You can do one-off type shows, whatever. You could tell that 10-year story in 3 years now if you wanted to, just through Disney Plus, an episodic series, and a couple movies. You know what I mean?
Right.
You could easily do that. So I think they do bigger, bigger stories. Just do. They do. Well, enough about Fast Nine. They will do bigger stories quicker and still be just as good.
Right. Well, I mean, I think it's interesting to see them play this, like, these much more human sides of characters right now. Like, I mean, WandaVision gave us a very human story. Loki is giving us a very human story. Falcon and Winter Soldier was a very human story. This is very human-centric. Like, the stakes continue to get lower, which is awesome.
They got to get you to reconnect with characters again. So,
right.
Yeah.
Like, that's such the right move, is to lower those stakes. And then I feel like we're going to get this kind of weird middle ground for probably a couple of years, where it's just this groundwork a little bit. Like, we're seeing almost more origin stories. We're seeing more human stories. Mm-hmm. And then by the time we're ready to build back up, oh, here's Fantastic Four. Here's the fucking X-Men.
Right.
Like, now we'll build it back up really quickly.
Right.
But I think they're making the absolute... Because they're waiting for my approval, of course.
Of course.
That's what I think they're making the absolute right fucking choice again.
I can see who the listeners are, and obviously I know they're listening. all the listeners are coming from Hollywood, California. That's where all... See, there's one right there. Popped on my phone. He's listening.
Yeah.
See?
Get them off the radio. They're giving away our secrets.
That's right. Or this is where they get it from. They need us. We make this shit real.
For sure.
Even though they've thought about it years in advance, it doesn't really happen until we talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it works.
But I think the relationship that they made with Florence Pugh and Scarlett Johansson was really fun. Yeah. Like, I think there was definitely parts of those movies that I was just entertained. Like, they were chopping it up. They worked well off of each other.
They did.
David Harbour, like you said, was really wonderful.
Yep, I enjoyed him. No big cameo.
No.
I was really
except
thinking...
for the post-credit scene getting Valentine.
Sure, sure. But even, you know, that's a big cameo. Yeah, that's a big cameo. But I was thinking, I mean, no Sam Jackson, no one's... Yeah, I thought something along those lines.
Yeah.
Someone's a creep, I don't know, something.
Well, I'm also wondering, so, you know, at the climax, we get General Ross comes to take her.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it's 2 weeks later, and she's free, and she's pre-Infinity War, her.
Oh, sure, right.
And they didn't really explain how they got there.
That's right, yeah.
I am wondering if they were just like, it doesn't fucking matter because she's dead, or if they're like, maybe we can milk one more movie out of Scarlett Johansson, and we now get the...
The 2 weeks in between?
Yeah, we get the how does she escape from Thunderbolt Ross, and,
right.
And that in and of itself creates some Dark Avengers connections.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't know.
But I thought
it feels
they were...
it feels like they skipped something that they didn't need to, because if they...
I thought the big reveal...
If we just wanted her to escape,
yeah,
she could have just escaped with everyone else,
right.
And then told them, like, I got some stuff to handle on my own.
Seeing that,
like,
kind of...
That makes sense. That's a logical
totally.
Ending.
Right.
To have her surrender herself,
well, in a
and
way,
then we just get a cut scene.
In a way, it plays into
free.
What I thought may happen is that Ross was going to be somebody else that we didn't think he was and captured her, but then took her wherever for,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Just because they met, you know, that one time when he was coming in the building early in the movie and she's like, oh, you know, I look better than you. What is this? Your third triple bypass? I'm like, oh, maybe he fucking died.
Yeah.
And this is totally somebody else.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's
but
the fucking Kree.
Right. Right. Why?
The Skrulls.
Right? Why him or, you know, whatever. Yeah.
There's something there that, like, I immediately, when she was taken by Ross, or presumed taken by Ross, and then we just had a cutscene to 2 weeks later, immediately in my head I went to, oh, we're getting Black Widow 2.
Sure.
Like that, like, whether right or wrong, I think that's how Marvel has conditioned me now, is like, oh, you left a back door that if you want to, if Scarlet wants to, you can make a sequel to this.
Yep.
And if she doesn't, you don't really have to.
Yep.
You can leave those 2 weeks untold.
Yep.
It doesn't ruin anything. People will forget that plot hole pretty fucking quickly.
Sure, sure.
But you left the door open.
Yeah.
And that was all I could... It distracted me from the rest of the point on. All I was thinking was, that's an interesting move.
That is. You mentioned the post-credit scene. When she's standing there at her grave...
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows someone else is going to pop up behind her.
Right.
Who did you think it was going to be?
I thought it was going to be Hawkeye.
So did I. I was thinking Hawkeye the whole time. I was thinking Hawkeye and like, oh, maybe this is where Sam Jackson pops up or something like that.
Right.
But I
100% was thinking Hawkeye.
Yeah, me too.
And I mean, to some degree, we did.
Sure, sure.
You know, we got Madame Hydra and we got Hawkeye as a target.
Right.
Yep. So it directly ties into Hawkeye.
Yep.
When is that show coming out, by the way?
It's the end of this year.
I think so.
Right?
Yeah,
I thought it was like December.
I think it is this year. I mean, well, it's tying in
right
to this. So, like, I almost feel like it has to come out before Shang-Chi.
I don't think it does, though.
And Shang-Chi's what, August? Late August,
yeah,
early September,
that sounds
did we
correct.
Say?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to look it up.
Excuse
quick.
Me. Yeah, I could be mistaken. I haven't looked at that list for a while. But I'm pretty sure that...
It just says 2021.
Hawkeye?
Yeah, we don't have an
official
date, but it says this year.
That's something that was... Would they really just pop it up out of nowhere? I mean, they're running out of time.
Yeah?
Tonight, I mean, you're not giving a date at this point, and you're still saying this year.
I don't know. Yeah, well, I mean, but they have to, because now they're... I feel like there's too many moving parts
right.
that are connected... And now that you directly gave us this link to it, I think obviously Shang-Chi is going to go in a different direction.
Yeah, it won't.
It's going to be building that more of that magical world.
Right.
So it doesn't need this. Eternals also, I think, is going to be pretty... I feel like Eternals is going to be very much what Guardians of the Galaxy 1 was.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was like a super self-contained story that just introduces us to those characters in that world. And then eventually they will merge into.
Yeah.
But I don't think it will have any actual implications right now. just like Guardians 1, really didn't fit in the Marvel Universe.
Right.
Until they showed up, like, with the exception of Thanos, you know, that was it. That was your only connect.
Right.
And I think Eternals will probably be similar. It'll probably be just like, here's introducing these characters in this world.
Yep.
And maybe you get some Easter egg-y shit.
Right.
But.
Yep, I would agree with that. I just popped in my head. I don't know why. Because once again, it's Marvel. They don't say anything accidentally or without reason. So in the ending scene, when she's, of course, spoiler, do you want to find the guy responsible mm-hmm. for murdering your sister? You know, when they were trapped up in the same spot where her and Clint were trapped for 2 days, you know, she referenced that. Me and Clint were here. Do you really think her sister has no idea that, like, that Clint, you know what I mean? Is she really going to think that Clint killed him? Or is she going to go to him and be like, look, these people are hunting you down? Or for whatever reason they want you dead. Is it a swerve is my question.
I don't think so.
No, you think it's just legit?
I think it's legit.
Or is she going to be like, you were my sister's friend. How could you do that kind of move?
Yeah. I think there's going to be some vengeance involved in it. And I think it can't be understated that in that time, there was the full 5-year Thanos snap period.
Yes.
And, like, there's a lot that happened between there that I think could make her sour on Clint.
Okay.
You know.
You're right.
And
when Natasha died, technically he was still kind of Ronin-ish.
Yeah. Know what you mean? Like, there's enough there that, like, I don't think it's a swerve. I think it's kind of going to set us up for, like, a Captain America Winter Soldier relationship, like in that movie where Winter Soldier was legitimately after Captain America the whole time, and then the end was a redemption piece.
True.
I could see this being the entire Hawkeye series is really Hawkeye and the girl on the run from Black Widow.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he sacrifices himself to Florence Pugh's Black Widow. She realized the errors of her way. Now Florence Pugh and Hailee Steinfeld are fucking homies.
Right, right.
Moving forward.
Right, right.
Like, I think it's going to serve that purpose.
Okay.
Here's a thought, though. Yeah. I'm wondering if I'm thinking back into my pre-COVID brain, which is hard to imagine. Were we supposed to get Falcon and Winter Soldier or Black Widow first?
I'm pretty sure Black Widow first.
Right, so that would have been the introduction to Madame Hydra. Because the only other time we've seen her is the very end of Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think of that post-credit scene as like...
Unless they tweaked it after the fact.
But which they very well could have.
Yeah.
That would not be a hard scene to adjust.
Right.
But I think it could... In my head, I'm thinking like, how cool would it be to not really know anything about her in that scene? And you kind of be like, what did I just see?
Right.
And then, you know, 6 weeks later, you see the end of Falcon and Winter Soldier. And you're like, oh, shit. Like, I think that...
It kind of has the same effect, just on a different show.
I think it has the same effect, but I do think the...
But you're right. I would assume that type of character you would probably want to introduce first in a movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And like, then, it gives her more weight. Because I think right now, just like when you were like, oh, man, I thought there was going to be a cameo that meant a little something more. We feel like it means a little something less because she was introduced on Disney Plus.
Right. You're probably right.
Whereas if she was never introduced on Disney Plus first, we would have seen that and left the theater being like, oh, fuck, who's Julia Louis-Dreyfus? Yep. Like, that's fucking cool.
It still,
like,
kind of has the same effect because now you know, regardless of what you saw first, you got to watch both.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
It definitely...
They definitely feed to each other.
They do, but I feel like it lost... It loses a little bit of its shimmer.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I could agree with that. Yeah, it goes from just, you know, ranch to spicy ranch. But it could be worse. You could be drinking lemonade beers.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah, get whatever you need out of there.
I'm also getting a bunch of weird calls from Kingston, Maine.
I don't know anybody in the Kingston area.
Me neither.
No.
I'll listen to their messages later. I'm quite confused.
I don't think I got any of those calls. Nope. No one from Kingston's calling me. Excuse me. Anywho, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, we covered a pretty good chunk there. What else you get? What was thinking on Black Widow?
I guess it just continues to, Black Widow just continued to prove the point to me that Marvel knows what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because again, in my head, I had pretty low expectations, and I think I have a pretty healthy spot in that, in my head for that movie. Like, again, I'm not going to be like, holy shit, that was incredible.
Right.
But it was like, it was a good fucking movie.
It was a fun movie, yeah.
Like, it was a good movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't Thor 2.
Nope.
You know, it wasn't. And I also think about, like, say, Captain Marvel, which you and I talked about a couple weeks ago when we were here, is like, oh, it was really cool in the theaters, but it's just kind of lost its shine a little bit.
Yeah.
This feels more grounded to me in a really good way. Just
it is,
like,
yeah.
Oh, man, I feel like that's gonna hold up and gonna, like, it's a good middle-of-the-road Marvel movie.
Absolutely. I would agree with that 100%. Yep.
And, like, that, I didn't expect it to
be. It's not going
to
crack my top 10, but it's a very good movie.
I'd have to think about my top 10. It might be able to sneak in the bottom third of my top 10, if I'm being honest.
Like, that's what's going to be weird going forward doing these lists. Do we just include movies? Is that movies and shows all together? And now shows have a more of an advantage because they're like 8 hours long. This is very complicated, Marvel.
You're right. How are you going to allow me to do my definitive ranking?
No.
It doesn't matter. If I had to do a definitive ranking, WandaVision's number one, the end.
If game only
over,
I had
no
an,
questions
yeah.
asked.
I mean, if only I had an episodic podcast where I... Oh, sweet. Sweet.
Could
I can
spend
talk about
days
it
just breaking down
anything.
Speaking of where things sit in the Marvel experience, how are you feeling about Loki?
I'm loving Loki. And I think maybe that's why I wasn't as pumped for Black Widow, is because I'm like, well, Loki's pretty fucking
good
right now.
It's like going from WandaVision to Falcon and Winter Soldier.
It is.
Going from Loki.
I don't want to say palate cleanser, but, you know, because it's not a dull movie, but Loki has the advantage of being a series, so you can tell more of a story, but...
It also has the advantage of Owen Wilson and Tom Hiddleston. Because those two motherfuckers are just goddamn charming as hell.
I mean, wow.
Wow.
Wow, man.
See, I've been loving Loki... But I'm not going to lie, I've gotten a little frustrated with some of its inconsistencies.
Yeah.
I feel like the parts of Loki that I love, holy shit do I love.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also feel like, one, visually, I feel like Disney can do better.
I know Disney can do better. Yeah, yeah.
Especially in the last couple episodes, I've been like, huh?
Yeah, like the...
Like when they were on the planet.
The bombed out New York or whatever it is they're supposed to be.
Yeah, the void.
Yeah.
That fucking cloud, the Eliath. Didn't look good.
No.
In the episode 3, like the first one where we really got him and Sylvie together when they were on that planet that was an apocalypse, that planet did not look very good.
No, I would agree there too.
At least by Disney standards.
I mean, agree.
It looked good.
Yeah.
But it didn't look Disney.
It did not.
And that took me out of it a little bit.
Yeah. I'm willing to give benefit of the doubt only because in the time it was made, maybe they had less access to
that,
whatever.
So that is the other thing.
Yeah.
That is, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Yep.
I do think that COVID impacted their shoots.
Sure.
Because I have continued to notice, do you realize as you watch that show how almost every scene is just two people in a room?
Yeah, yeah.
There is no grandeur. They are all every scene,
and
there is no like panning shots. It is hard cuts to two people in a room.
Even fight scenes are really no more hand to hand, no more than one to two people.
It is hard cut to two people in a room that you can tell.
Yep.
Like, maybe I can just tell because we've lived through it, but
maybe.
Like for sure, I'm looking at like, oh,
yeah,
you definitely couldn't shoot the way you wanted to shoot because this.
Right. Compared to what
is just two fucking people.
Compared to what we just saw with 300 people in a yard running, and you know what I mean, like in extras. Like, those are all real people doing this stuff, and this is supposed to be the Time Bureau, and they have two guards.
Or compared to even WandaVision, where it wasn't even like huge fight scenes, but it was just comfortably people could move through the set, and the camera could as well.
Yeah.
Whereas, like in this, you don't ever explore any set pieces,
right?
Because you can tell they only could shoot this big of a fucking space, and it can only have two people in it.
And everything else behind you is green screens.
Right. Yep. There's a lot of green screens and a lot of just hard cuts.
That's right.
And so it doesn't feel like, I feel like the amount of time we spent in the TVA or in the fucking void, those set pieces should feel more grand than they do. And again, I'm giving them a pass because, you know, they have no control over that.
Right, right.
But it definitely, that was one that felt, that feels even, to me like,
yeah,
ah,
even watching,
to see this without,
like, I remember COVID restrictions. Watching it and still loving the episode and loving what was going on. It didn't, I wouldn't say necessarily took me out of it. When you first see Owen Wilson back in the truck or whatever the car he's in, uh-huh. and he picks up
Sylvie
or whatever. Watching that scene is like, you know, things crumbling around him. I'm like, Beetlejuice Sandworms was like almost better than
yeah.
this is kind of
yeah.
Like when they pull that shot back, you're like, it's like video game esque and kind of. Right. And then like the shot of the two of them, you're like, all right, they're just in a shitty half car in a set doing. Yeah. You know what I mean, it's just, you could tell it was very.
It was put together in a.
I don't want to say it's low budget because it wasn't low budget.
Exactly, but it looks yeah, low budget.
It looks a little Channel 9.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's also like, boy, the parts of it that are good are so fucking
yep.
good.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
I think, is it Sophia Day? I can't remember. Who plays Sylvie? She has been fucking great.
Solid. Yep.
Tom Hiddleston's been wonderful. Like, the whole cast has yep. been really good.
Yep.
And I love the mystery elements.
Yep.
I think the way they're clearly getting ready to introduce Kang in the final episode, or yep. they have to be. I don't know what else they could be doing.
Right.
But
that may also speak to some of the way those scenes were shot, like the New York's or mm-hmm. the, you know, if it is Kang, maybe all that is just like on his shelf type, you know,
sure.
a little bubble type thing. Yeah. So there's not much of a
world
to
yeah.
it, you know what I mean? Not excusing
well
this stuff,
could be.
But you know,
very well. Like I said, like
that's kind of what I thought of as well.
I just like I said, the parts that are good are
so good.
Fucking
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it is, and I think that's what makes the parts that are less good stand out to me.
Yeah.
Because it is one of those shows that I think, like, when I look at the parts that I love the most, it could be in my top 5 or top 10 Marvel
sure.
things.
Yeah.
But then there's those, and then there's the other side of the coin that's just like, ah, fuck, you're
yeah.
weighing it down a little bit.
I mean, it was, you know, this is what speaks to the actors on the show, especially Owen Wilson. We've known his character a very, very brief time. We don't mm-hmm. have much of a history, but that speech he gives about, I don't know who I was, but
yeah.
I hope I had a Jets. That's like the best fucking thing. I'm
right.
like, oh, that's fantastic. And then they kill him. Like, oh, man, that was emotion for me. That was
yeah.
boom. That was some great shit right there.
But now that he's going back into the TVA, like
yep.
he took the temp pad. Like,
yep.
there's a lot that I'm excited for this Wednesday to see.
Yep.
But it's just the inconsistency is frustrating me. I do think this last episode was really... was one of the strongest.
I would agree.
The one before yeah. that also. Like
yep.
I love where they're going. I don't know.
It's okay. You don't have to know.
Yeah, they're really playing the mystery card
yeah.
in a fun way.
Yeah. Do you expect a, not that it needs it by any means, a big cameo for this?
I don't.
Is Kang not that he's a cameo, obviously, just the introduction of that.
I think
of
the
character.
Introduction of Kang is the point.
Do they
because
do
I,
it?
I think about the only
excuse me.
I think the only cameo that would make sense is Doctor Strange.
Sure.
And I think about like what we got in WandaVision. I think this is just that. I think this is going to be the same thing that we got in WandaVision. I think it's going to be the days of the big cameo are not behind us, but we're in a hiatus from them. It's kind of like thinking about the early Avengers movie. You know, they're rebuilding the universe, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you think about, like, okay, in the first Iron Man, you got a glimpse of Fury.
Right.
In Thor, I can't even remember which. Like, you really didn't get, like, the early post-credit scenes all the way up to...
You got more Fury, didn't you, Thor?
Yeah.
With the Tesseract and the Doctor.
Like, you really... I don't think you got a big cameo, for real, until the end of Avengers 1 when you got Thanos.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you got like, I don't know. It all depends on how you define big cameo. But, you know, you got Tony Stark and, what, Hulk. That was kind of
okay.
a big deal. You know,
yeah.
not a huge deal. But at that time, I was kind of like, oh, these are...
Well, it was a huge deal because it was like, oh, this is legit.
This is all connected now. Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think we're... I think it's going to be a little bit before we see the, like, the big somethings in a post-credit scene.
Do they... Do you see Kang do anything? Or is he introduced kind of like the Thanos?
Kind of like Thanos was?
The turn to the side and, oh, this guy's...
That's what I have to think. There's low key, it's going to be that.
Yeah.
Because he's got to be... I think he's got to be the big bad. Not the next Thanos necessarily, but like the next mini Thanos. I think he's going to be being built up as the next Avengers level threat.
Sure.
He is the next Avengers movie we get, I believe, will be Avengers versus Kang. But I also don't think we see him truly in action until Ant-Man the Wasp Quantumania. But I also think with the Eternals spanning a bunch of time, I think we can see Kang in that.
Sure. Yep.
I think that, you know, I think that's the Eternals' way in.
Oh, of course.
Is Kang.
Agree. Yep, I would agree.
So I think giving us a little tease of him now sets us up for Eternals. Mm-hmm. I have no fucking clue where Shang-Chi's gonna fit, and I'm kind of excited by that.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of fun in the not knowing right now.
Agreed. I like that. Yep. Yeah, I look at that as kind of the Ant-Man side of it. Like, I didn't know what to expect from Ant-Man. I'm like, how is this gonna work?
And yeah. But it was Paul Rudd, so you knew it was
gonna work. Of course I'm gonna love it, but is it gonna be... You know,
where does it fit?
The big fail, or what? You know what I mean? Like, this an off character that you don't really hear a lot about. And like, love it. Ant-Man's one of my favorites.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorites. So I'm really excited. You know, and people shit all over. What the hell was the Kung Fu one on Marvel on Netflix?
Iron Fist.
And I'm not saying it was. I'm not by any means saying it was good, but the premise is good. I enjoy that type of...
I agree.
And this is different, don't get me wrong, but...
I like that we're getting a Kung Fu movie.
It's an aspect that I think Marvel is missing that needs to be brought in more.
Well, I think where Marvel has always succeeded is that they changed the comic book movie genre by stopping comic book movies from being a genre. Like, everything that they do... Like, so the Avengers, those are comic book movies.
Sure.
Every other movie they do, for the most part, is a different type of... Like, the Captain America movies, the first one's a war movie.
Mm-hmm.
Captain America and the Winter Soldier is a spy movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The movie that we just watched, Black Widow, is...
It's a Jason fucking, Bourne, yeah.
Yeah, well, right. And it's also like kind of like a human interest.
Yeah, piece. Totally, yeah.
Like... Guardians of the Galaxy is a buddy cop movie.
Right.
Like they are doing every other genre, just putting comic book characters into it, which is why it works. So the idea of like, yeah, I just want to see a fucking Kung Fu movie, but you're going to put the Marvel twist. You're going to have a Marvel connection there.
Right.
But I don't look at it as, a comic book movie. I look at Shang-Chi as a Kung Fu movie with comic book characters.
Yep.
Just like Eternals to me doesn't look like, it looks like a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, it does.
Like
it
that's
does.
A, that's going to be a straight up sci-fi movie with comic book characters. And like, I think that's really Marvel's strength.
Yep.
Is that they don't have, I think they somehow have an identity without having an identity. Like say like the DC movies. They are all handicapped by that identity.
Right.
They all have the same tone. They all have the same feel. They all have the same sensibility. Whereas, like, Marvel's all over the place.
Right.
They, like, there is no... I don't believe there is a Marvel hallmark as far as movie-making style. The post-credit scene is the hallmark,
yeah.
Sure. But like just as far as the tone and the approach to movies, I think they are all more movies made to fit the style that they're going for, opposed to movies made to fit the Marvel mold. if that makes sense.
Makes sense, I understand. Yeah, sure. Sure.
And that's what has me stoked about Shang-Chi. Because I don't think they're going to give us, like... I am expecting that to not be a comic book movie that has karate in it. I expect it to be a legitimate kung fu movie.
Sure.
That references comic books.
Yeah.
And that's fucking cooler.
You know, I expect it to have, you know, some of the mystical type stuff in it too as well. You know, I'm sure it'll be, you know... I don't know. I have no fucking idea what to expect from that, to be honest. But I really don't.
It will... I think it will deliver... On being a honest kung fu movie. It's kind of like how Ghostbusters is the best fucking movie for many reasons, but one, because it honors the horror genre. Like, Ghostbusters is 100% a comedy, mm-hmm. but like the horror aspects of it aren't cheap. Correct. They are respected and honored within that genre.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I think it'll be the same thing here, where it's like, it's not going to be a cheap mockery of Asian stereotypes of karate. It's going to be a legitimate, honest, kung fu fucking movie.
Right, like Cobra Kai.
Yeah, yeah. How dare you invoke the Holy Trinity?
I'm not shitting on Cobra Kai. It's white guy kung fu movie. It's perfect for what it needs to be. Thank you. I don't even know how we got into that. Well, I mean, I do, but let's see. Was that all the Loki we had? What else we got for Loki? I have anything else written down for Loki?
No. I would say next week we'll talk about the finale, but I'll be at Disneyland. Oh, yeah.
Yep. Someone will be having fun somewhere.
I'll be at Galaxy's Edge. I'll be at Avengers Campus. I'll just be living my best life.
What an asshole.
On the beach in California.
What an asshole.
Wow.
I'm jealous. I'm just jealous.
Yeah, I am stoked. We are going to once again continue our inconsistent podcast schedule by me vanishing to the coast.
That's the only consistent thing about us.
We're consistently inconsistent.
That's right. That's right.
But after a lot of years of being very consistent.
Hey, if you're looking for consistency out of a podcast, why are you listening to podcasts? I mean, there's no podcast that I ever have subscribed to that regularly came out without a missed week here or there.
Yeah.
It just happens.
And we are just prolonging the inevitable of getting to 100 is really all it is.
That's right.
We're letting that reach its real grandiose state.
That's right. That's right.
It's kind of like how you look at like your 30th birthday, then your 40th, then your 50th, whatever. You're always like, I don't want to hit that plateau.
Yep.
We get the, I don't want to be 100 episodes old, Brandon.
It's making it work for us.
I don't want to be 100 episodes old.
Marinating a little more.
So if we just got to stretch it out.
That's right. That's right. I'm not getting any younger, though. Not getting any younger here. Take a quick break, and we'll come back, and I'm going to tell you about this Chris Pratt thing I saw.
And we're back.
We are back. So I saw that Chris Pratt, The Tomorrow War.
Okay. I'm interested. Enlighten me.
The idea is really cool. I mean, you saw the trailer. The trailer, you know, gives away so much, by the way. I can't believe how much is in the trailer. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, you know, future is in trouble. Basically, aliens are taking over the, you know, world. And they're losing a war. So they come back to the past to recruit people to go there to help them fight.
Let me ask a quick question.
Please.
At any point, do they cover, if you've invented time travel, why don't you go back and spend time preparing for this war and prevent the war from ever happening?
Someone actually asked that type of question.
Okay.
And I forget.
But they gave a reason.
They gave a reasoning behind it.
Okay. Yes. That's fair. Yes. I don't need a good reason. I just need that to be acknowledged.
Right.
Whatever bullshit made up reason they give, that's totally fine.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But they're basically only recruiting people. You get drafted, you know, if they find out that in this future, you're already dead for whatever reason. So you're never going to bump into yourself or any other weird paradox type like that. So basically, if you've been recruited, you know in the future you're dead. So you are fighting basically to come back and still live. You know what I'm saying? To whatever life you may have left. Like, say, Chris Pratt. They don't tell him how he dies or anything like that. You die in, you know, when he gets in 7 years. Oh, well, I fucking better do something to save, you know, or whatever. You know, that kind of guy.
Huh.
You know, of course, he was...
That's a cool premise.
It's a cool premise, sure. Doesn't mean your kids can't still be there.
Right.
You know, yeah. So, you know, of course, he's like a former Army Ranger or whatever. So he has some type of background in...
He has some qualifications.
Sure. But that doesn't... That's not why they're recruiting everybody. No matter what you are...
If you're
dead
in
X amount of years...
Yeah, we just need cannon fodder.
Right, right. And obviously, it's all old people for the most part. There's no young people who are dead in a few years. So they're not... It's all old people who they're just sending back to die for the most part. Not really appropriate, like, or not really relevant, but anyways. So they're doing this, you know, Chris Pratt and, you know, leads a team of misfits or, you know, people who don't know shit, you know, to recover some, like, you know, like the toxin that's in the alien so they can create a virus to kill the alien, you know, or whatever type.
Okay.
Thing, you know what I'm saying?
So they're going to get a thing that they can then take back in time to use as a weapon early in the war?
That's what you think, yes.
Oh.
But you know, this isn't... Well, you mean spoil anything?
I don't give a shit.
You know, you kind of...
I am more than likely not going to watch this movie,
right.
But I...
You kind of find out that basically, when they send you to the future, you're there for 7 days. You have a 7-day tour of duty.
Okay.
That's your tour, right? And you have a little device on you, so... Wherever you're at, the wormhole grabs you and pulls you back to your time.
So if you can survive 7 days,
you get to go back and live
your remaining years.
Right. Barely anybody does because everybody's sending people to be killed. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course he gets the virus, sends it back, all this kind of stuff. And really, that's kind of where the story should, you think, end. But then it kind of just goes on for like 40 more minutes.
Huh. So he gets the stuff to make the antidote.
Finds out he gets sucked back into time. The general is, of course, his daughter. You know, the future's lost, and we can't say the future. You have to take this back and prepare for their coming. You know, we know this is when they appeared, so blah, 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 in Russia.
And the general is his daughter, but older.
Correct. Okay. So he doesn't know towards the end that it's his daughter, you know, dies. She's falling in this, you know, big, horrible crash. He jumps to save her. Wormhole grabs him, sends him back. Last thing he sees is, you know,
his daughter dying.
And supposedly when he, you know, his daughter tells him, you know, when you came back, you were never the same. You disappeared. And now you kind of know, oh, well, he was fucking traumatized from all that kind of... Anyway, so that's...
Okay.
But now, you know, it changes the future.
Cool concept.
It is. But then it just goes on for... Now they're trying to find the aliens. Now it kind of turns into like Starship Troopery. Like they're hunting down the main mother alien before she can lay, you know, they know they crashed here. Okay, well, there was never any, long story short, they've been here the whole time. Global warming happened, thawed out icebergs, aliens came out.
Okay.
Takes out, anyhow. Was his J.K. Simmons is his dad, who's an old grizzled Nam veteran who he enlists to help him hunt down the aliens. And I really wanted to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I watched it. I never stopped. I didn't pause it like I did Wonder Woman. You know, I watched it all the way through. I didn't even, you know, no bathroom break. So I would say I enjoyed it. That's usually my cue. If I stopped. I did not get up. I watched this whole 220 for an action movie is a long 20. Yeah. And like I said, that last 40 could have easily been chopped up, I think. I don't even think he needed it. He didn't even need it. You know, the last scene could be, we found him. Cut to black. You know what I mean? You don't even need to see the hunt after him and then killing him. It was too much. It was just extra. Extra. Probably 20 million extra in CGI you did not
need. Did you get like a legitimate climax out of it?
No, because honestly, the climax earlier with like his daughter dying, that was the huge ending, okay? And then you're waiting for the wind down and the slow, you know. No, then you go back to Earth and then you wind it all up again. Now he's his dad who he lost contact with 20 years ago because he abandoned, you know, okay, I need your help. You know, you can get me into Russia and blah, you know.
J.K. Simmons doesn't get introduced until after that?
In the like the opening 10 minutes, it's Chris Pratt's daughter's birthday. Or Christmas or something. There's a card, and he's like, "Who's that from?" He's like, "Your dad." You know, he rips it up and throws it in there. You know, doesn't even like we're not talking about him. You know, that kind of. So okay, he has a dad who he hates. Whatever. I think at one point you may see a picture, but you never really see J.K. Simmons. No, I think he goes to him, but oh, he gets drafted. He's like, you know, I'm getting drafted, blah, blah, blah. Tries to, like, reconcile. They have a big fight. But that's the only, like, it's a 5-minute scene. And then you don't see him for an hour 30. And then he comes back for the final 20 minutes.
Weird.
Yeah.
I like. So there's a lot of cameo. It, there's a lot of it that seems like a cool concept.
Yeah.
That I'm definitely interested in.
CGI, very good.
But I also, like, I'm just kind of not here for Chris Pratt as an action star.
It's kind of.
I just don't really give a shit.
Kind of World War Z-ish, too. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Not as far as zombies or con, but, you know, the way it's kind of shot, too. The way the look, the CGI look, kind of grainy, gritty look. And it works. It's not bad. After seeing Black Widow in the theater, this I would have enjoyed probably more in a theater. Big, huge, epic type movie. You know, once again, I think it still would have been 40 minutes.
220 sounds bloated.
It's a long time for that type of movie.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to be Aliens. But with, you know, Aliens was great because it wasn't constant action. It wasn't, you know, there was a big blow-em-up scene or whatever, but that wasn't the movie. You know what I mean?
I also think we've reached a little bit of a...
And they hid the aliens for the longest time. Like, ooh, what do they look like? And then they're fucking everywhere. And then it's... Okay, well, now there's
They're in the trailer.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I saw the aliens.
You don't see them on screen for probably 40 to 50 minutes.
That sounds cooler. Like, why are they in the fucking trailer then?
Totally. Right. Honestly, that trailer that we saw in the theater, I hadn't seen that trailer. Or I probably would not have watched the whole... I'm like, oh, I know what fucking happens. I know the movie by watching that trailer.
That sucks.
Yeah. Yep.
I just also feel like... I feel like we've reached a bit of a problem...
Oh, we're good, we're good.
We've reached a bit of an issue in which Marvel has shown other studios that an audience will sit for over 2 hours for a quote-unquote action movie.
Sure.
And I think what other studios fail to understand... is that Marvel has a built-in fan base from years of people loving these characters, first in comics, then now there's a whole generation of people who were raised on Marvel movies. Like, you think about it, there are kids that saw Iron Man in the theater when they were 8 and 9 years old that are in their early 20s now.
Sure.
Like, you have an entire generation of moviegoers that was raised on Marvel in the theater.
Right.
And then... every generation before them, who at least has a contingency of people like us that were raised on those characters as well.
Right.
So there's a certain amount of grace that you're going to get from that.
Yeah.
Every movie doesn't need to be that.
Right.
And I think we have too many studios have this approach where, like, oh, Marvel figured out how to make $1 billion, so we've just got to do what they do.
Right.
It's like, no. You can't do what they do, so you've got to pivot. You know, like, oh, Warner Brothers, you've got a Harry Potter. Cool. You can do the Marvel model with Harry Potter.
Right.
You totally can.
Right.
But, like, do you want to create a cool sci-fi franchise? You need to make that first movie crisp and clean.
Right.
Like, that's a cool concept. If you execute that concept in an hour 45, which is still a good length movie.
Yeah.
If you execute that in an hour 45, you will get money, you will get sequels, you will build a fan base.
That's right.
But you can't... Coming out the gates at 220 is tough.
Right. Now, I've heard they're already pretty much given the green light for a second one, which, you know... I'm sure. I don't know what they put into it. It's an Amazon Prime movie.
Amazon money.
So, right.
They have more money than God.
Exactly. So I'm sure breaking even is... I don't know how how they calculate with Amazon Prime what they make. I can't believe Amazon Prime membership goes up because Chris Pratt did a movie. But I don't know how they're... You know, whatever. Do what you do. I hope they make another one. Hey, more movies, more fun.
Yeah.
One more episode to talk about.
I am all for everybody getting to make whatever they want to make.
Totally.
But yeah, I'm just done with Chris Pratt.
And
not in the way, like, you know, I guess a bunch of people came after him because he's fucking Christian or conservative or whatever. I don't give a shit about that.
I didn't know about that, yeah.
I don't care about that.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of done with him as an action star. I like him as a comedian.
Yeah. I would
or
like
as a
him,
comedic actor, not a comedian.
He can be an action star in the same way like Harrison Ford was an action star.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to be killing all the alien action star.
Yeah.
Fucking run from a boulder and jump in a plane and, you know, jump off a cliff here and there.
Be
but,
witty, be charming.
Right.
Be, like, he became a household name as Andy Dwyer.
Yes.
And I still love him as Andy Dwyer. Yeah. Yeah. You want to expand, and you know what the perfect expansion of that was? Star-Lord.
Right.
Awesome. Stay in that lane, right. Man. You fucking crush that lane.
Do you know, I think, what Chris Pratt wants so much is to be Ryan Reynolds. And I just think, I think he's looking for that. And that's just not him. Chris Pratt is great as Chris Pratt.
Right.
And I want
more of that.
I want that. He could be the everyman, the Harrison Ford type character.
Yes.
In many, many great action movies. You know, when I look at Bruce Willis, Mel Gibson, big action stars, but they're not in a movie, you know, blowing away.
Yeah.
You know, a tank or whatever. I don't know. You know, right. I mean, they're believable action stars.
It's kind of like when Matt Damon got in that real action-y phase where it was like, bro, right. I didn't need that from you.
Matt Damon is great as a Jason Bourne, but then you put him on a wall in a Japanese thing and you're like, and then aliens attack him. You're like, nope.
Yeah, wah, nope. Da, 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 da. I don't need this. Nope. I didn't sign up for that.
No, it's just not.
Like, Matt Damon can be funny.
Yep.
Matt Damon's a great character actor. Matt Damon is a good spy. Like, there's a lot that he can give.
And in this,
I don't need to see him. And what was that fucking weird alien movie, that Edge of Tomorrow? Or was that Tom Cruise? Which, there was one.
That was Tom Cruise.
There was one fucking alien movie.
I did enjoy The Martian.
The Martian was great.
That was a fun movie.
No, but that's not an action
movie.
He's
an everyman.
He's great in that.
Exactly.
What fucking movie am I thinking of? There was one, I'm going to say it's probably like 10 years old or something, that was like a... It was like a real crazy, over-the-top action. Kind of sounds like what you were describing. And starring Matt Damon. What the fuck was that?
Why do I want to say, like, The Expanse?
It's in that realm,
something,
man.
Like that.
It is for sure. It is like a one-word thing. God, it's on the tip of my fucking tongue.
Good Will Hunting?
Exactly. This is... gonna drive me absolutely bonkers.
I got no idea on that one.
Elysium.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. The futuristic, like,
look at that fucking poster.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
I don't need that from Matt Damon.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. I remember seeing pieces of that movie and it was pretty shitty.
Yeah, just kind of like, and that's where I'm at with Chris Pratt. Like, I don't need you. But at the same time, hey, if that's who he wants to be, go be your own man.
Look, if
you don't gotta please me.
Right. Right.
But
if someone's going to give you $20 million to do that, you do that.
Fuck yeah.
I'm not by any means saying you fucking should not do that. Should absolutely do that. Having said that,
I'm just not the audience for it.
Right. Doesn't, you know, did I watch it? I watched it. So you got me regardless.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if you do a sequel, I'm probably not in. Just that's where I'm at.
But I guess it's also kind of crazy because I think about, say, an actor like Chris Pratt. And this is where... it feels weird to get old because your frame of reference is so different. Like, you think so, like, Chris Pratt, what was he, Star-Lord first or Jurassic World first? Which of those two came first?
Star-Lord came first.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was probably, what, 2012-ish?
Was it even that early? I would say, like, 14, but maybe not. I could be wrong.
I remember seeing Jurassic World with my sister when she was very pregnant. So that was at least 7 years
14.
ago.
14. Guardians was 14.
When was Jurassic World?
Let's see. 15.
Okay. So since 14, he's been a legitimate name in action movies.
Sure.
So again, that's 7 years ago. So to a lot of people... a lot of movie-going public say that were introduced to him when they were 13 or 12. They view him as an action guy. Whereas, like, my introduction to Chris Pratt was The O.C.
Right.
And you know who he played on The O.C.? Andy Dwyer. Same goddamn character. It was like he was he had a small part in the last season of The O.C. And he was the exact character he is in Parks and Rec. And then it was like 2 years later, he lands Parks and Rec, and I was like, oh, it's fucking Che, okay. And then he continued that and killed it for fucking 8 years. So it's like, to me, he's always that. Not in like a typecast kind of way, but in a like, you did that so fucking well.
Right.
You were so good at that.
I was trying to think the other day what the first thing I ever saw him was, I mean, I probably knew him from Parks and Rec, but I never really watched that show.
Really?
I mean, I've gone back and watched it.
That's high on my list. That is top three all-time sitcoms for me. I fucking love Parks and Rec.
But I had to...
top five.
This makes me laugh because I remember it vividly. It's not a great movie. Remember Wanted?
Yeah.
With Angelina Jolie?
Yeah.
He was the...
Is that the one with McAvoy also?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, I remember that. And as the scene where he smashes the dude with the keyboard and what the keys come out and they say like, fuck you or whatever.
Yep.
I totally remember
that. That's him. Yep.
He's in that?
That's the guy getting hit with the keyboard.
No shit?
Absolutely, yes. Yep.
That's the only sequence
Chris
in that
Pratt
movie
is
I
the
remember.
Guy banging his girlfriend.
That's the only sequence in that movie I remember, and I had no idea that was Chris Pratt.
I'm trying to think. Or did he hit the woman with the keyboard? I can't remember.
I don't know. I just remember...
Remember him yelling at the woman and then Chris Pratt.
When that movie came out was when I was living in the Swan House with Nate and Gibby.
Yeah.
And I remember just being very stoned and watching that movie. And just that like slow mo shot of the fuck you.
Yes, it's a great scene
coming out of the keyboard. Was just very amusing to me as a very stoned 20-year-old. Yep.
And I think that was like 2011 or 13. So there you go. That was my first.
Oh
Chris
no,
Pratt.
That was way earlier.
I don't think it was.
That was 08.
No, was that 08?
That was before I moved to Springfield.
Oops, let's see. I just had it pulled up.
For sure, that was 08.
That was 08. Shit, how about that?
Yeah, because I watched that when I was living with Gibby and Nate.
Funny shit.
So it was early 08 because I lived there for pretty much the entire... I moved out to go to Vegas early 09 and I watched it in that house, so it was out on DVD by the time I was living in that house. Or on HBO.
We get it. You're right. I was wrong.
I win, Brandon. Just
keep rubbing it in.
Goddamn win.
Keep rubbing it in.
But you remember that it was Chris Pratt.
So. I remember it was Chris Pratt. I just didn't know what year it was back
then.
That
movie was fucking... What?
That wasn't a shit movie. I enjoyed that movie
I'm
for what it was.
I'm trying to remember it so much more now.
I'm surprised there wasn't a couple of those. You know, Morgan Freeman, you know, they had the...
Morgan Freeman was in that.
The ribbon looming thing, and yeah, yeah.
I remember the keyboard, fuck
they were
you,
assassins.
And then I remember there was... scene with Angelina Jolie without her shirt on, but only from the back.
They had those healing tubs. So it was kind of comic. It was kind of Kingsman-esque. You know what I mean?
Clearly, I remember the important things.
Angelina Jolie's butt. Yep, that's the important
stuff.
And
a keyboard saying fuck you.
And the keyboard saying fuck you, but you just didn't know it was Chris Pratt. So, you know, it's the little things that are important. That's what we learned tonight.
Yeah, that was a fucking... I'm trying to think. Did I watch anything else this week that is relevant? I watched a movie with the girls yesterday.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called. It was a kids movie on Netflix. I'm going to say it was like The Last Dragon, but it wasn't Raya and the Last Dragon.
Okay.
But it was, because it wasn't Disney. It was a Netflix one, and it starred John Cho.
Okay.
Remember John Cho?
I know the name, yeah.
As a dragon. And I was like, oh, this will be cool. And the girls wanted to watch it because they hadn't seen it. I was like, yeah, let's put it on. It was really delightful. It was really cool. It was Aladdin.
Really?
Like, it was so... Like, the whole time I was watching, I was just like, huh, we really just gonna rip off Aladdin like this? Nice. Like to this degree.
They like, spell his name backwards like it's a Ninda?
You mean this pauper boy finds a teapot with a dragon in it that grants him three wishes, and he is using this dragon to impress a girl, and he needs the dragon to make him a wealthy man to impress her?
Not sure what similarities you're pulling yet.
I'm watching the whole thing just like, what? And it's a kid's movie, so it's only like an hour and a half, but I watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's beautifully animated, and I like John Cho. I think he's really funny. Just like Robin Williams was. Like, it was John Cho was a dragon.
Right, right. Totally different.
Like, it was wonderful.
Well, because you can't do a genie nowadays.
Right. It was wonderful.
You gotta do a dragon voice.
It was wonderful, but it was very much kind of like, huh, this is what we're selling.
Yeah.
This is Aladdin.
Along those lines, I'm still watching The Flash,
what was the name of
the TV show.
Uh-huh.
It is just a bigger piece of shit every week, I'll tell you what, man.
I'm glad I walked away when I did.
Last week I didn't.
Because to me, I just always remember it as a wonderful show.
It was either last week or the week before. I think it was week before. And this doesn't, you know, by no means is this a reflection on anybody else in the cast. But how do you do an entire episode of The Flash when you don't have The Flash? It's like, hey, The Flash is they're on their honeymoon that they didn't get a chance to take after their wedding. So we're going to defend Central City this week.
That's what happens when you have shows with 22 episode seasons.
Yes, yes.
You get filler episodes. And I think the problem is, when we were young, we accepted filler episodes because everything was 24 episodes.
I guess,
and now as we get older and we've experienced enough TV that is 8 and 10 and 12 episodes, and we realize how fucking perfectly paced a 10 episode season is.
Yeah.
Now you see it, you see it 20, you're like, oh yeah, 8 of these episodes just don't matter.
Yeah.
Wish Dragon is the name of it, by the way.
I remember seeing that Wish like in Dragon the in the Netflix previews. Yeah, yeah.
It's if you liked Aladdin, watch it. Yeah, it's beautifully animated.
If you liked Aladdin, you'll like this.
Yeah, it's well made. It's fun. But
if you like The Flash, don't watch The Flash. You will not enjoy The Flash after that. It's so upsetting. Because I really enjoy the first couple of seasons.
I watched The Flash for probably 4 or 5 seasons, and I loved it the whole time.
So the way Green Arrow ended, Oliver Queen died, and then the last cutaway scene you see is, what was his bodyguard's name?
Diggle.
Basically discovering the Green Lantern ring. You know what I mean? They don't show the green whatever. So guess what? Diggle's back on The Flash this week. Sweet, this is going to be fun.
Is he the Green Lantern?
That's never once referenced. He just, hey, how you been?
Like, what?
Right, the whole time that's I'm waiting for that. I'm like, what the fuck? Nothing. Nothing.
That's bullshit.
It's he has headaches. He's hearing voices, but they never once reference anything. They don't act like they're going to ever bring it back. I felt like it was a test to see if people gave a shit or not.
I think they have to bring it back because, well, I guess it depends on how much money that actor would command.
Sure.
But like, so Green Arrow's gone.
Yep.
Flash is on its last leg.
It is, yeah. I think it's over this season or next. Yeah, for sure.
Legends of Tomorrow's not carrying that world.
No, like canceled Black Lightning.
Batwoman's not carrying that world.
Supergirl's being done, right?
Supergirl's done.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. They got Lois and Superman.
Yeah.
That's it.
They need Green Lantern.
Yeah.
They need something. They need another marquee name.
Yeah. They need a dark one. They got a darker, you know what I mean? They need something in that vein.
There's also part of me that wonders, like, Berlanti.
I think they're going to do a Canary show.
Huh.
I'm not 100%, but I think they're doing maybe not. I could be wrong.
So Berlanti, who's behind all of that, he also does Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
And is he involved in Titans also?
I'm not sure.
Like, I feel like he has enough of a Warner Brothers relationship and now is doing HBO Max stuff that, like, I wonder if they're kind of, like, trying to just get out of the CW game. Because, maybe. Like, who the fuck watches the CW anyway?
Fair enough.
Like, CW... Yeah. It feels so weird because, like, when I was a kid, Warner Brothers was the fucking network. Like,
it's Fox for me.
Yeah, was it?
Because Fox was the new network back in the 90s.
Right, and that's what Warner Brothers was. Right. So, like, when I started watching TV,
the young hip network
in the mid to late 90s, fuck, dude, Warner Brothers was the shit.
Yep.
They had all the best shows in syndication, so you were watching fucking Boy Meets World and Sister and shit.
Yeah.
But then their originals, they had fucking Animaniacs. They had Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah.
They had fucking Veronica Mars. Like,
still
cool
think Fox
shit.
Was killing it. We had like Married with Children and The Simpsons.
Yeah, but that's that generation.
And Cops. We had Cops. I mean, come on.
Fuck Cops. Cops is the worst.
We brought Cops into the universe. You're welcome.
That's the Gen X versus Millennial in us.
That's the original reality show right there.
Right. Cops. The worst one.
Cops.
Oh, let's get a bunch of cops in small towns that are probably assholes to arrest a bunch of degenerates. Like, let's just send them after the drug addicts and the wife beaters.
Right.
And then put it on TV. what could go wrong?
Hey, like, back then,
that's a fucking terrible idea.
We'd never seen that before until looking back, sure. Terrible idea.
Terrible idea.
At the time, you're like, they're putting this on TV. This is, yeah. How can I not watch this train wreck?
Let's go to the worst precincts that need money, so they'll take our money.
Yep.
And let's just send them to the trailer park.
It was never New York or Chicago.
It was never real crime.
Yeah, the biggest town was ever, Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah.
That's like the big
city. It was never real crime. It was...
No, yeah.
It's
all
90,
domestic disputes.
Right, it's 90% meth.
Yes. Yep.
And 5% he punched his wife.
Yep, yep. And 100% he's hiding under the kiddie tub in the backyard.
Right.
Yeah.
This is terrible idea.
Yep.
This is just asking for lawsuits.
Yep. Cops.
Bad boys.
Great stuff. So the Flash sucks. I got nothing else, man.
No. That's as good enough time as any. We will get back together in a couple weeks where we will unwind the finale of Loki.
Yep. I'm sure someone will talk about their fucking Disney experience.
Yeah. I'll be happy to. I can't wait to.
Maybe you should record that on your own. No,
I didn't even get into Bad Batch because you keep holding off.
I do.
It's
I know.
So fucking
I know.
Good.
I know. I'm still only like 3 episodes in on that one. I'm terrible on that one. I know. You know what? I hate even admitting this to you because I was getting ready to watch Sweet Tooth, and then I went for that Chris Pratt movie because it was just being inundated with me. I'm like, all right, I'm giving it the shit. This is
Sweet Tooth is so much better.
Look, hindsight, cops. Looking back, it was the wrong move. If I could change it, I would go right to Sweet Tooth, and that's what we would have talked about this week. But no.
Yeah.
We talked about Chris Pratt.
Well, now you get a couple weeks to get your Sweet Tooth on.
I'll get my Sweet Tooth on. All right, man. That's it.
See ya.
Thanks.